Well, one of the things that we were focusing on here is that man was, because of the fall of Adam, man was spiritually separated, was spiritually dead and separated from God because of Adam's disobedience to God's direction to them in the garden. So there was a need for a Savior. There was a need to redeem mankind. So Jesus came to this earth. When he was on this earth, he said that I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly, John 10:10. And so that begins to give us some insight that Jesus came so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So that means it's not one and done, so to speak, that this word life is Zoe. It's the very life and nature of God. And so he came that we might receive the very life and nature of God, that we might be, as the scripture says, that we've become the very righteousness of God in Christ. So we've received, if you've received Christ, you've received the very nature of God in you. And we're going to take a look at that a little more as we look at these scriptures this evening. But when we talk about our identity, you know, many live and die in life and never really find their true identity. They never really find their true purpose. And you really can only find your true purpose and your identity in Christ. And we are made in his likeness, his image. We're made, he's given us a purpose and a destiny in life. And I know, you know, I've shared this, you know, in times past, you know, just my interactions with people in life, that when they receive Christ, they begin to understand and know their purpose on the earth. And we all have a different path and a different purpose. And God spoke to me as a young man and gave me some direction and told me what I would be doing. Spell it all out, but he sure gave me a direction in life. So this word identification really means to be something that's exactly the same or identical in quality or sameness or oneness. So when we say we're identified with Christ, that means our identity really is not only just in Christ, but we're identifying with him and with the covenant of God. So when we start to look at the scripture, familiar scripture in 2 Corinthians 5:17, looking at the New Living Translation of 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. So this is where, you know, when some folks, you know, you share this, they go, yeah, well, the old life is gone. I'm still dealing with this stuff. I'm still dealing with, you know, attitudes, with different kind of passions, different things. I'm still dealing with that. Well, what does that mean? A new life has begun. Well, we'll unpack that a little bit. But the Living Bible, it says, when someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person where inside, this translation said, he is not the same anymore. A new life has begun. So the new life that you've received, this Zoe life, is on the inside. And so this has broken the power and the control of sin, but you still have a soul. You still have thoughts that you can yield to, and that we have to, as the scripture shares, that we have to renew our minds so that we can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So God has given us a free choice, a free will, and although our spirit has been changed, our soul, we have the right to still make choices. Well, until we feed upon the Word of God, till we get the life of God in us and changing our soulish area, sometimes we may make some bad choices. We may make some choices that aren't right. And so God is showing us in the Scripture that we need to change our thinking. This is another couple of different translations, one called the Shuttleworth translation. And it says, the deadliness of our former condition is passed away. I like the way that shares that. The deadliness of our former condition. You know, our former condition was pretty bad. In most of our cases, until we receive Christ's life in us, we were going down the wrong path. This is the Laubach translation. And it says, if a man is in Christ, he is created new. The man he was has passed away, and behold, a new man has been created. So we've become a brand new person on the inside. And we've become, as some translations, we've become a new type of person or a new species of being. What does that new creation mean? It means we're new in kind and quality, something never heard of before. So this is what the Scripture shares with us, that we are now in Christ and our old former condition or person is passed away. This old nature has been changed. And we've become a new person in Christ. And so we now have a new life, a new identity. And in that, where is that identity? In Christ. We've been engrafted into Him. So it means everything that Satan did in Adam, God completely reversed and restored in Christ. So because of Adam's fall, everything that happened because of Adam's fall has been paid for and reversed in Christ. So God's work in Christ far outweighs anything done to man through Adam's fall. So the Word of God is the life of God, and we've been redeemed. And Galatians 2:20, this is continuing as to who we've become. It says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. So I've got a new person. I've got a different person on the inside now. He's saying I was crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So we've now are in Christ, and God sees us in Christ. Sometimes we don't, but He does. So we have to see ourselves and mix faith with the Word of God and see ourselves with a new identity, see ourselves in Christ, see ourselves the way the Word says that we are, because that's the real truth. This is the a distilled translation of Galatians 2:20. It says, I consider myself as having died and now enjoying a second existence, which is simply Jesus using my body. So we're enjoying this new life in Christ as a second existence. And what does this translation say? It's simply Jesus using my body. He's taken up residence. So he's using my body. He desires to think through me. He desires to speak through me, just like the Father did with Jesus. He showed Jesus what to do, what to say, where to go. And so God, as we were sharing Sunday, God initiated our identification with Christ, and we must accept this new life in Christ and mix faith with it. So we've got a brand new life in Christ. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. So God is in the business of changing identities. You know, when you talk about changing identities, you know, if somebody goes into, you know, somebody might be familiar with or maybe even knows of someone that's in, you know, in the natural realm here, they have somebody that may have been a witness in a trial and they need a new identity. They call that a witness protection program. So they expunge everything. They remove every bit of identity. They get a new social security number. They get a new everything. And so they get new, you know, licenses and so forth. And so they have a brand new identity in this natural realm. Well, for us to get into heaven, we've got to have a new identity. You know, you show up at heaven's gates, so to speak, and you're going to have a different identity to get in. And that identity is his life and his nature. You're going to have to be in Christ to be given that entry. So how did he change how did God change our identity? The moment we received Christ, you became a new creature in him. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 3 in the New Living Translation, it says, "For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God." That's our real identity. So this life that we're living, it says we died to this life, and our real life is hidden with Christ in God. So there's protection in being in Christ. I'm hidden in Christ with God, or it says hidden with Christ in God. So when we look at, I like the way this particular scripture reads in Romans chapter 8, and verse 1 and 2 in the Passion Translation. It says, "So now the case is closed." So you could say, now the case is closed. I'm a brand new person in Christ. "There remains no accusing voice of condemnation against those who are joined in life union with Jesus, the Anointed One. For the law of the Spirit of life, flowing through the anointing of Jesus, has liberated us from the law of sin and death." So we're liberated, and so what are we supposed to do here? So that when there, it says here, there's no more accusing voice of condemnation. So when we're confronted with things in this life, we are in Him, we're in Christ, and we have His life now to do what? Give us the ability to overcome the obstacles in life. I want to look at this life that we've received, 1 John 5:12 in the King James. It says, in chapter 5 of 1 John and verse 12, it says, "He that hath life, he that hath the Son hath life." That same word is Zoe. That means he that hath the Son hath the very nature of God. "And he that hath not the Son hath not life." And I like this in the Passion Translation. And it makes it plain. It says, whosoever has the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not have the Son does not possess eternal life. So we now have what? A new life in Christ. We have his very nature. Why? Because we have the Son, we have his life living in us. You know, when Jesus was on the earth, he shared this in John 5:26 in the King James translation. It says, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. So Jesus said, just as the Father had life in him, so he, God the Father, gave to the Son to have life in himself, his very nature in Jesus. The Passion Translation, I like this because this begins to unfold or unpack what we have and our responsibility and purpose. It says here, for the Father has given the Son the power to impart life. And this is what I like here. He said, even as the Father imparts life. So God, the Father, gave to the Son the power to impart life. Wow. So this is what made Jesus different in this earth. So now let's go further here and look at 1 John 4:17 in the Passion Translation. So we're looking at the Father gave what? It says he gave the Son the power to impart life. Well, when you impart something, that means you communicate something, you give something. So 1 John 4:17 in the Passion Translation, it says, by living in God, see, this is where we are. We're in Christ. By living in God, love has been brought to its full expression, where? In us, so that we may fearlessly face the day of judgment. Now, this is what I wanted to focus on. Because all that Jesus now is, so are we in this world. That's what it says in the King James. It says, because as he is, so are we in this world. So if the Father gave the power to impart life to Jesus, and we are in God, it says, all that Jesus now is, so are we in this world. So what does that mean? We've been given, what does the scripture say? It says that we are heirs of God, Romans 8:17. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. So everything that Jesus received, everything that Jesus has, we have. And so if he was given the power to impart life, and 1 John 4:17 says, because all that Jesus now is, so are we in this world, then that means we also have the what? The power to impart life. Now, somebody might say, well, you're going to have to show that to me, but it's all through the Great Commission. And we'll unpack a little more here. And, you know, this is something that sometimes we don't think about, that we might have the power. This new identity in Christ gives us, we are what? The body of Christ. So everything the head has, everything the head represents, so does the body. So if the head was given what? The power to impart life, so was the body. And what does that mean? John 6:63. See, so we as the body of Christ, we are to go into this world and impart his life. And this is the scripture. How are we going to do that? Well, let's look at what John 6:63 says. It is what? The spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are what? Spirit, and they are life, Zoe life. So the word, even in the Great Commission, Mark chapter 16, he said, go into all the world and do what? Preach the word, preach the gospel. And those that believe will be and baptized shall be saved. Those that believe not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. So we are to preach life, preach the word, which is life. That is communicating. That is imparting life. And so, and as the scripture in the Great Commission says, we're to do what? Lay hands upon the sick. And they shall recover. That's imparting his very nature, his very life. So the body of Christ, this new identity, isn't just about us identifying with Christ, but it's identifying with his will to do what? We need to stand in our place, and wherever God has assigned us, wherever we are to bring this nature, this life, as the body of Christ, to do what? Communicate it, to impart it unto this world, unto this, you know, the people that we interact with. And so sometimes it might just be our presence coming into that setting, bringing peace and joy. It might be speaking a word of encouragement. It might be doing something of kindness to someone and just being a witness in this earth. But all of that is imparting his nature. We're to be what? The scripture says, a light in this dark world. So when we look at this here, Jesus, when he said the Father has life in him, has Zoe life in him, and I have Zoe life in me, that ought to be our confession. That ought to be just as Jesus said, as the Father had Zoe life in him, so do I. We need to have that same profession of faith, that I have the Zoe life of God flowing in me. This is what made Jesus different from everyone else on the earth. He operated in and through the Father, and he operated in this Zoe life. He was here to do what? Impart life to those that needed it. So he had the very life, the Zoe life of God at work in him. And this God kind of life produced light wherever he went. He spoke the words the Father gave him to say. So John chapter 1 and verse 4 and 5 in the King James, this continues. It says, in him, see, was what? Life, Zoe. And the life, the Zoe life, was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So when we get the Zoe life of God in us, we have what? Not only his life, it is the light to our inner man. It lighteth this man that's on the inside, this new person. And we begin to see and think like him. We begin to operate like him. And it's not just so that we can operate in our own personal lives, but it's to bring this nature, this life, to this dark world so that we can do what? Impart his life, his very nature, into people. So 1 John 5:4, it says, whatsoever is born of God, overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, what? Even our faith. So this God kind of faith, this Zoe life, I'm sorry, this God kind of life, is the power that raised Jesus from the dead. So because we are in him, it raised us up also and gives us the power to do what? Walk over sin, death, and this old nature, this old man. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. In the King James, it says, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. Even so, we should what? Also walk in newness of life. So this is where faith has to be mixed with the Word of God. So back to, you know, the point some people make, they say, look, I'm struggling, you know, with this, or I'm dealing with this. You know, all of us in life, if you're living in this world, in this earth realm, until Satan is chained up and Jesus returns, we're all going to face issues in life. We're all going to face temptations. We're all going to face mountains in life. And that's what we have. We have this Zoe life in us, the very power of God that raised Jesus from the dead. I think is he's showing us that through Jesus' life and ministry, he overcame every obstacle in life. And he did that as what? A man anointed by the Holy Ghost, just like we are when we receive Christ. So we can overcome, and this is where our faith comes in, where it says we're to do what? Walk by faith and not by sight. So looking at what belongs to us in Christ, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 in the Passion Translation, it says, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm has already been lavished upon us as a love gift from our wonderful Heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, all because he sees us wrapped into Christ. This is why we celebrate him with all of our hearts. So we need to, and I say we need to, it's embrace what our identity is. You know, all of us have we're raised in families. You know, even if you were, you know, even if you don't know your parents, you know, maybe you were, you know, put up for adoption, you know, that could be. And maybe you don't know your mother or your father, but you have, once you became a Christian, you have a new father. And you have a family, the family of God. But none of us, even if you did know your parents and you did know your family, none of us usually want to disown, even in the most extreme cases, most people still want to know their family, still want to know where their origins are and who their family are. And so most people don't say, well, I don't want to have anything to do with them. I don't identify, is really what I'm trying to say. I don't identify with them. Most people don't. There may be some, but it's the same thing. We when we identify with Christ, what are we identifying with? And we were saying Sunday, the more we know and the more we fully grasp who we've become in Christ, the less we identify with the world and the ways of the world. You know, when you see all of the anger and the fear and the hatred that's being escalated in this country, you begin to say, this can't be of God. And when you have people hating other people and people shouting at other people and not loving, that's not a good witness. And so for us, the Christian, we need to do what? Walk as he walked. We need to be able to impart this power that we've received to this earth realm and the people that are even walking, you know, contrary to the things of God. So for us, coming into situations where there are things that just don't look right in this country, maybe we're not in a position to change it in the natural, but we can sure change things spiritually from a spiritual standpoint, where we can begin to take authority as the body of Christ and begin to do what? Call down and command those wicked spirits that are controlling things and influencing things so that we can then give God the access into these realms, into this realm. And that's what he's looking for. He's looking for the body of Christ to impart his nature, his life, into this earth realm. And that's what the body of Christ is here to do, to preach the gospel, to take authority, take the authority that we've been given, and to operate as he did here in this earth. So again, I just share these few thoughts here, and let's just close and with Romans 5:17. In the Passion Translation, it says, "Death once held us in its grip, and by the blunder of one man, death reigned as king over humanity." This was because of the fall of Adam. "But now, how much more are we held in the grip of grace and continue reigning as kings in life, enjoying our royal freedom, our regal freedom, through the gift of perfect righteousness in the one and only Jesus, the Messiah." So just as, you know, the King James says it a little differently, but we are to... we've received, as it says, the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. So his intentions, his purpose was to come and to do what? Defeat the devil and to make a way for mankind to have access to God through Christ. And the moment we did, the moment we receive him, is the moment we've received his very nature, his very life in our hearts, and we've become brand new persons in Christ. Well, he's intending for us to step into that place of who we really are and walk in it. Now, that doesn't mean you're not going to get some opposition, because the moment the devil sees that you're going to walk in that, there's going to be some opposition. You know, Brother Hagin used to say it when he was alive. He said, it's easier to squash an acorn than an oak tree. So if you're a young Christian, then it may be that you're in a position where you may give in to pressure. But the more you learn how to overcome pressure and to speak to pressure, this is Mark 11, 22 and 23 and 24, it says, have faith in God. You got problems, you're dealing with pressure, have faith in God. And it says, whosoever shall what? Say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall do what? Believe that the things that they're saying shall come to pass, you shall have what you say. So this puts us in the realm of what God is saying. We are his body, and he wants us to do what? Speak life, impart life, speak to the obstacles that the devil has taken control over certain areas, maybe in your house, maybe on your street, maybe in your city. He's telling us as the body of Christ to speak life, impart life into this earth realm, into the heavenly realms, and begin to do what? Take back the territories that the devil has stolen. Because he has come to do what? To steal and to kill and to destroy. So whenever we see that in this life, anything that's stealing, killing, and destroying, we know that's not from God. We just know it. And it's God's purpose that we have life and have it more abundantly. Praise God. Well, let's unhook, and we'll see you on the next broadcast. Father, we thank you. Thank you for this time that we've had to share life and to understand more who we are in Christ, understand our position, our responsibility, and what we're supposed to do, and what we're supposed to do with this life and the word that we have, and that we are to be a witness here in this earth. And Father, we thank you. And Father, if we desire to increase in this and to know more and to stand sturdier in that. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you happen to be tuning in, we always don't leave this broadcast without giving those an opportunity to ask Jesus into your heart, because Jesus is coming soon. You know, in Spanish they say, Jesus viene pronto. That means he's coming soon. So Jesus is coming soon, and we need to take stock of that in our lives and get our lives in order. And if you haven't asked Jesus to come into your heart, this is your opportunity to do that. So if you haven't, and you desire, and you believe that Jesus is the Redeemer, he is the Christ, and also that God raised him from the dead, and you believe that, all he asks is that you speak or you confess what you believe, and the scripture says you shall be saved. So let's say this simple prayer. Father God, I thank you that you sent Jesus here to this earth in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. I believe that he is the Christ. He is the Redeemer of mankind. I thank you that he took our sins and the enormity of it. He became sin. And I thank you that when it was paid for, you raised him from the dead. So now, Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. I ask you to make something new of me. Cleanse me with your blood. And I purpose to serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you said that simple prayer, they'll put some information up on the screen as to how to contact us and let us know that you've become a brand new person in Christ. And we'll get some free information out to you to let you know what just happened to you. Praise God.